A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rehm, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on December 29, 1985, entitled Peace at the End. The text for the sermon is Luke 2, verses 29 through 32. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
In the Catholic writer Graham Greene's novel, The Power and the Glory, he portrays a rather seedy, alcoholic Catholic priest who is sitting in a jail cell contemplating his own condemnation, for he's about to be shot. He got mixed up somehow or other in the Mexican Revolution, and the Revolutionary Army, having arrested him, had condemned him to death. And so there he sits in his cell with a bottle of brandy to brace himself and give himself courage for the moment. And Graham Greene describes him this way: tears poured down his face. He was not at the moment afraid of damnation. Even the fear of pain was in the background. He felt only an immense disappointment because he had to go to God empty-handed, with nothing done at all. It seemed to him at that moment that it would have been quite easy to have been a saint. It would only have needed a little self-restraint and a little courage. He felt like someone who had missed happiness by seconds at an appointed place. He knew now that at the end there was only one thing that counted: to be a saint. And at the end, it is too late to do anything about that which has been done. At the end, it is too late to decide to become a saint, if we use the word as Graham Greene was using it. For we, most of us at least, will die as we live. And in Simeon, we have the example of one who lived faithfully and died peacefully. In Simeon, this ancient saint whom Luke portrays for us in the Nativity narratives, we have the ideal Israelite, one who had lived faithfully, watching, waiting, in prayer and fasting, hoping, with his hope fastened on that which God would surely do to redeem Israel. Graham Greene's priest found tears coursing down his cheeks because he was at the point of his death, a death which would bring him into the presence of God empty-handed. Simeon took the child Jesus in his arms, and he blessed God, and he said, "Now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." The contrast is stark. And in Simeon, we have a model of faithful living and peaceful dying. It is possible to have peace at the end, and it will be the consequence of having placed the energies of one's life and made the focus of one's life the things of the kingdom of God. Simeon lived in Jerusalem. Luke tells us he was righteous and devout. Barclay translates it good and pious. Whatever words we use, what the gospel record is telling us is that here was an old man who had lived out his days in his horizontal relationships, having been a good person, a person of integrity, a person who was right in all his ways. and a person who in the vertical relationship of his life lived all of life before the face of God, living a life of prayer and expectation and worship. And so he lived a good life and a devout life. And he came to the end of his life, and he knew peace at the end. He died as he lived, and in that he is a model to us all. Simeon was probably one of those that are described by Luke here and in other literature of the time as the pious ones or the quiet ones. Jesus came into a world that was quite as turbulent as our own. Sometimes we get that wrong because we think of all of the beauty of the candlelight glow, and we think about the angel choruses shattering the night silence, and it all takes on the aspect of a fairy tale. But as a matter of fact, Israel was an occupied country. There were the troops of occupation there. There was a despot on the throne who was ruthless and mad with his power. If we look at the events surrounding the birth of Jesus, we'll come to that massacre of the innocents when all the children were killed because a child had been born which threatened the power of Herod. Now the world into which Jesus came was a violent world and a hostile world, but in the midst of that world there were various groups who all had their own solution as to what would happen or what they should do about it. There were the zealots who wanted to throw Rome over violently, and there were the Pharisees who followed their own particular path of righteousness. There were the Sadducees who thought the best thing to do was not to rock the boat but collaborate a bit. But there were the quiet ones, the pious ones. Some of these we learn about in the Dead Sea Scrolls that have come to light in the last three or four decades. Little communities of people who simply went off and prayed and studied the Scripture and waited for the Lord to make His move. And Simeon and Anna in Luke's Gospel are certainly the embodiment of the ideal of those pious ones, those quiet ones. They would never have been the attraction of the media craze such as the movers and the shakers of our day. We're fascinated by the movers and the shakers. We can condemn the media, but we make the media do what it does. And so someone who makes a name for himself or herself has a microphone shoved in their mouth, and we hang on every word, no matter how inane it may be. Well, no one ever listened to Simeon. When Simeon talked, the world didn't listen. No one knew about Simeon. But Simeon was in the temple day by day, and he was in prayer, and he was so attuned to God that he had a sense, he had an intuition, that God was about to make a dramatic move. He had a sense and an intuition that God wouldn't let him die until he saw that thing that what God would do that would bring about the consolation of Israel. And one day he felt that inward nudge again, and he made his way to the temple. What do you think he expected to find there? Perhaps if he had been like you and me, he would have been looking for a mighty conquering hero coming up on a white charger, drawn by some chariot with all the troops shouting his acclaim. In fact, if he'd been more like you and me, who are accustomed to watching the movers and the shakers of the world, he probably would have missed the fact that there were parents there presenting a child to the Lord. I probably would have looked around, surveyed the situation, and gone home and just figured that my hunch was wrong. Nothing was happening there, for the only thing there was a child and two peasant people offering to the Lord. But Simeon was one of the quiet ones. He frankly never spent much time in front of the tube. He wasn't distracted by all of the things that were going on in his world, but he was attuned to God so much so that he didn't miss the moment, and he took the child in his arms and blessed him and said, "Okay, Lord, this is it. Now let me go in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I've seen all there is to see. I've seen everything that matters now, for I have looked upon him by whom you will bring consolation to Israel. See, old Simeon longed for the consolation of Israel. That word is the same word we find in the Greek version of the Old Testament of Isaiah 40 that we read a moment ago. Comfort, comfort ye my people. Handel's magnificent Messiah makes the words familiar to us all. Comfort ye my people. Simeon was one that longed for the comfort of his people. Simeon was one whose heart was set on God and who loved the things of God and longed for the coming of the kingdom of God, whose whole life and all of his energies and all of his focus was on that day when God would move and do something to bring comfort, consolation, to restore the fortunes of his people. And now that he had seen the child, he was ready to go. All those years, faithful. All those years with patient expectation. All those years waiting on the Lord. I wouldn't have had the patience. I wouldn't have hung in there that long. I would have given up after a few rounds of prayer, wouldn't you? For after all, it's not easy to hang in there. It's not easy to be young and have dreams and visions and to come into middle years and feel the weight and the burden and the heat of the day. It's not easy to get through and to keep believing and keep following the star and seeing the vision and hearing occasional angel voices. It's not easy to keep on believing, to keep on pursuing, to be consistent and persistent and faithful. It's not easy to keep on waiting and watching and hoping. So easy to become fatigued with caring, numb with waiting, bored with the years that go by and nothing happening. Simeon is a model of faithful living. He hung in there. He didn't give up. He kept the dream. He kept his prayer life alive. He kept in worship. He kept attuned to God. He continued to believe. It's not easy to keep on believing. It's easy to fall by the wayside. It's easy to think eventually, well, it's good for kids. It's not easy to keep on caring, to keep on hoping. It's not easy, Christmas after Christmas, to keep away from the idea that maybe this is just a little interlude in what is the real world. A lot easier to focus on Washington and Moscow, on Reagan and Gorbachev. If you want to know what's going on in the world, a lot easier to take the Wall Street Journal. A lot easier to follow the course of events in Time magazine. Luke, Simeon, Anna. Not easy to keep on believing. Frankly, if I were Simeon, I think I would have given up about halfway along, just tired of it all. Do you still believe it? Is the kingdom of God anything like the motivating dynamic center of your life? What do you really care about? To what do you really throw your energy? What gets the investment of your best time? Would anyone get the impression from you that they could follow you along and put a little beeper on the inside of your heart to know really what you ponder in your heart. Would anyone get the impression that there's a passion for the kingdom of God? Frankly, I get tired, don't you? Sometimes I'd like to run away to the ends of the earth, wouldn't you? Sometimes I wonder if there's anything to it at all, don't you? That's when I need, once again, to bathe my soul in O Simeon and to know that there's only one thing to do, and that's to keep on keeping on, to keep on believing, to keep on praying, to keep on worshiping, to keep on waiting on the Lord. I dare not remove myself too much from those things that continue to push me back into the center of faith and hope and love. Frankly, if I didn't have you and if I didn't have an hour like this, I'd be a lost cause out in my own somewhere. Simeon needed the temple. Simeon offered his prayers, and he got to be a very old man, and he didn't give up the faith. A model of faithful living, so that his end, peaceful dying, was simply the natural issue of a life like that. Now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, serenity at the end, tranquility in the contemplation of one's own death. Death is the last enemy, and yet the sting has been removed through Jesus Christ. And there is no fear or terror to one who has lived faithfully, who has been good and pious, upright and devout. Then the end can be contemplated with peace. It is possible to die in peace when we have lived in faith. And so Simeon is a model for us, calling us to faithful living in order that we might know a peaceful dying. Christmas is the time when we must renew that faith and hold again the vision. A year is playing itself out, and our lives are incomplete, and so much is left undone. We can throw up our hands, we can give up the race, throw in the towel, toss in the sponge, and just die while we're still alive. Or we can give it all to Him before whose face we live, seeking to be renewed in vision and faith and love and hope, in order that throughout all our days we may live faithfully and die peacefully, with a sense of completion. The old Catholic priest, seedy, alcoholic, fondling the bottle of brandy, felt he had missed by a few seconds his appointment with happiness, and realized in the end that there's only one thing that counts: to be a saint, which is simply to believe and to keep on believing in expectation of the coming again in glory of the one who was born a child.